Blog Talk Radio.
Miami Heat fans, you are now listening to MSL Radio coverage for your Miami
Welcome, welcome.
I'm doing great. Okay, now before we talk about tonight's game, we're thinking about, I was recapping some of the games that happened last night since it was the first time we had meaningful NBA games since June when the Golden State Warriors walked away with the Larry O'Brien trophy.
Sylvia,
what game do you want to talk about first?
The Cavs versus Bulls, which was an amazing game. Obama, even the president was in the building.
Yes, that was the highlight of the doubleheader on TNT yesterday, and that was a fantastic game.
Personally,
as a Chicago Bulls fan, I always am happy whenever they beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. Even if it's a game where the Cavaliers aren't 100% healthy, but there were some interesting things to take away from this game. First things first, what were your thoughts about the new offense that the Bulls are running under Coach Fred Hoiberg?
Okay, they were amazing. They won 97-95. My surprise was Maricek with 19 points for the game. He was amazing with his threes. In the paint, he could dribble, he could pass. He was unstoppable yesterday.
Oh, yeah, and, I mean, diehard NBA fans and Chicago Bulls fans have been clamoring about this guy to get in the starting lineup since last year. Miritich was, in his last season before he came over last year, was the MVP of the Spanish Basketball League, which is considered to be the second-best league in the world. And was also on the starting lineup, along with teammate Paul Gasol, of the Spanish national team in Eurobasket. So he is definitely a talented player. And if you don't know, you should watch, because now that he's in the starting lineup, he's going to be getting heavy minutes. Another thing that was great to see was Derrick Rose coming back from a broken orbital bone. His shot wasn't there all the night, but he still was kind of looking like the old Derrick Rose, not necessarily as explosive as he was, but he was still going to the paint, trying to get contact, going to the rim, doing all those things you like to see, and also he didn't limp off the floor at once, which was great.
Yeah, but at one point he almost got injured again. He almost twisted an ankle in the first
half. That was
fun
to watch.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah. Now, moving on to the Cavaliers, there wasn't a lot to take away from this game for them, purely because they had so many guys out and just coming back from injury. Kevin Love just got cleared for playing basketball after missing the entire offseason recovering from that torn rotator cuff. Tristan Thompson just signed with the team 2 or 3 days ago, so he's playing himself back into basketball shape. LeBron James, even though he's still one of the greatest players in the world, looked, I wouldn't say a step slower, but like half a step slower. He's on minute restrictions now. That back was obviously, I wouldn't say bothering him, but it wasn't letting him be the same player that we're used to seeing.
Exactly.
And Mo Williams, it definitely isn't Kyrie Irving. So, I mean, it was awesome to see the Bulls win, but I wouldn't read too much into it for what this means for this 2015-16 Cavaliers team, purely because this wasn't the Cavs team that it's going to be in a month or two.
Yeah, exactly. Even though they had a fast start, but they went downhill from there. You could tell the Bulls were more energized, younger. They could shoot. Their defense was better. So
I wouldn't say their defense was better, but, I mean, the thing is the Cavs were shorthanded and they only lost by two, and that was after LeBron James had to got blocked on a possible game-tying drive by Pau Gasol, and then they Jimmy Butler deflected the inbound pass after that with, like, 2 seconds left. So this game could have easily gone into overtime. So Cavaliers fans are definitely feeling great about their team. But like I said, it's early in the season, and we've still got 81 games for each of the teams to play.
Exactly.
Moving on, the other game on the TNT doubleheader was the Golden State Warriors, defending NBA champions, going up against the New Orleans Pelicans, or what I rather should say, what was left of the New Orleans Pelicans, because everybody on that roster is hurt.
Wow.
Sylvia, did you get a chance to catch any of this game?
No, I did not.
Well,
it was a late
game. You missed one of the all-time great Stephen Curry games. He was
Stephen
phenomenal.
Curry, not the Warriors, but second.
I mean, the Warriors were all great, but Stephen Curry went for 24 points in the first quarter on his way to a 40-point performance. And he was lighting it up from everywhere. At the end of the first quarter, he even took a shot from the edge of the logo just because he was feeling it. And he looked mad when it didn't go in.
Right. Is this a team in a long, a championship team in a long time that they actually win after they win the championship? You know, many teams, they win the championship, but they don't win the first game of the season or the next season.
That's true.
I know.
Also, they came out hungry with something to prove. I guess Andrew, and it also turned out to be true that Andrew Bogut wasn't lying when he said he was getting his championship ring fitted for his middle finger, and that basically was the attitude of everybody on this team.
Oh,
but
my God.
They did, yes, he did. But they did come out to a kind of slow start, only leading by single digits. I believe it was 5 points at the end of the first quarter, which Ish Smith, of all people, killing them.
Right.
And this is Ish Smith, who was signed 2 days before the season opener because the Pelicans are just that injury-ridden. I mean, Drew Holiday, their starting point guard, he's on minutes restrictions, and he didn't play last night because they're not going to play him both games of back-to-backs, it's looking like, at least to start off the season. Tyreke Evans is not slated to come back for until December at the earliest. And then they've got other key rotation players like Omer Asik and Dante Cunningham, who I don't even think they have a timetable for when they're going to be getting back on the court.
Oh.
And, I mean, that's kind of disappointing because I think that this is the year that Anthony Davis becomes the best player in the world.
I agree.
And
he's young. So.
Yeah, I am 22 years old, and I am older than him. I'm, like... Yeah, that makes me feel reassured about so many things. Yeah, the best player in the world right now is younger than me. But,
yeah.
All right. Now, let's get into tonight's game, though. All right? We Miami Heat playing
against... Yeah, before we get into tonight's game, did you see the ring? The championship ring?
That's
beautiful.
Yeah.
It's round because it's different. It's usually square, but it's round and beautiful.
All right. But moving on to tonight's game, we have the Miami Heat going up against the Charlotte Bobcats. And I feel like this should be an easy win for the Heat. What do you think about this?
I definitely agree because they have, obviously, they have veteran players that have been, that have two or three championships in their belt. The Charlotte Hornets, I couldn't recognize anybody there, only Jeremy Lin. And Jeremy Lin is not even a starter. So
yeah,
the Heat should win this game, definitely.
Yeah, this Charlotte team is in a weird transition right now, especially with possibly the team MVP, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, being out for the season with a torn labrum. And MKG, last year the Hornets went 6-21 in the 27 games he missed. And he was considered to be one of the frontrunners for the Defensive Player of the Year award this year. Now, I've got a couple of thoughts on the absolute keys and the things that the Heat need to do to come out of tonight with a win. First things first, Hassan Whiteside needs to stay out of foul trouble.
Yeah,
that is probably the biggest thing, because even though Al Jefferson didn't have the greatest season last year, he's looking better. He came into camp down 20 pounds because he cut out fried chicken. He's still one of the best low-post defenders, and even though Bosch is a decent defender, he's not really somebody who can bang in the post. So Hassan Whiteside is really the one player on the Miami Heat roster who can shut down Al Jefferson in the post, who can be a double-double machine.
Yes, I agree.
Another key for the Heat to win tonight is to force Charlotte into taking contested perimeter shots. Even though Kemba Walker has hit a number of big shots in his career, going back to college and memorable game winners, on a night-to-night basis, he isn't the greatest shooter. At this point in his career, he's only hit above 40% of his shots from the field one time. And the rest of the starting lineup, I mean, Nicholas Batum has been a deadly shooter at times in his career, but he's coming off possibly the worst shoot year of his career except for his rookie season. And P.J. Harrison is not really known for his shooting. So if they can force the Hornets to play outside in instead of inside out and working around Jefferson as the hub of their offense, that will definitely help them a lot. And then my last two points are kind of connected. Now, Lil Dang is listed as a game-time decision with a hip injury. So even if he does get the start, I feel it's important to do these two things. One, get the bench involved in the game early, especially these three players. Tyler Johnson, who can be a spark plug off the bench for some quick points. Gerald Green, who we all know what he can do. And the person who could be starting in place of Dang if he isn't going to go tonight, Justice Winslow, the rookie out of Duke, who we already know has the potential to be a great perimeter defender and can play the power forward position in small ball lineups. Sylvia, what are your thoughts on the bench?
Right. Good point, John, because Stoudemire is out for the game today. So we definitely
correct.
That's definitely not a small concern, because Whiteside has to be out of trouble, you know, foul trouble. And we definitely need a Daryl Green with his explosiveness, you know, shooting. So we really need the bench, like they've been doing in the preseason.
Yeah.
So let me see. And Dang, I don't see Dang as a starter right now for some reason.
Well,
I don't like Dang at all.
I mean, he's starting more for his defense and leadership, because I agree with you. I think that Justice Winslow is the more talented player at this point in their careers, but there aren't that many rookies who are ready to start day one in the NBA.
Right.
Also,
yep.
Another thing I feel like that he should really look to do is to push the tempo of the game, because one of their issues last year, and this is something Eric Spoelstra talked about in the preseason, he said that he wanted the Heat to become more of a fast-paced, up-tempo team, and that makes sense given that they finished 29th out of 30 teams in terms of their pace last year. And
right.
If they can push the pace and the tempo against Charlotte, that could be huge for them, because Frank Kaminsky figures to be the sixth man on this Hornets squad and playing the four, and I would say that he is pretty slow for that position. And Al Jefferson, who is easily, in my opinion, the best player on this Hornets team, is not known for being able to change ends of the court that well. And
right.
He's not all. He also isn't the greatest defensive presence. So if you force him to run around, get him gassed, that's going to affect him on the offensive end. That's going to affect him on the defensive end. And when that happens, that'll open up the paint, allow Justice Winslow, Gerald Green, Tyler Johnson,
Green.
And Dwayne Wade all to get into the paint, have easy shots, and also create looks for Hassan Whiteside to just have dunks. And that should also open up the pick-and-pop game with Goran Dragic and Chris Bosh, which we really haven't seen so far. But during training camp, Eric Spoelstra said that he was crazy excited about that.
Yes, I agree. But they need to start really in a fast-paced, smart basketball. Otherwise, they're gonna be playing a catch-up game like they've been doing in the preseason. So
yeah,
I think the bench is gonna do well like they've been doing, and that's the key for tonight's game, the bench.
All right, now I'm gonna flip the script a little bit and play devil's advocate. Here are what I think are the keys for Charlotte to do if they want to win tonight's game. First things first, they need to get Hassan Whiteside in foul trouble, because this is something that we talked about on the last episode of the Heat Wave, which airs 6 p.m. every Thursday on NFL Radio. Miami has not been a great defensive team, especially in the transition, and they haven't really been a good rebounding team so far, and this is going back to last season. And once you take Hassan Whiteside out of the lineup, that becomes a glaring hole. And as I said earlier, Al Jefferson is probably the best person on the Hornets squad. He's easily their best offensive player. No offense to Kemba Walker, but if you have the choice of throwing it into the post against Chris Anderson or Chris Bosh with Al Jefferson, or having Kemba Walker take a contested mid-range or three-point shot, I think you're going to throw it into Al Jefferson every time. My second key is they need to force Dwayne Wade out of his comfort zone, force him into taking three-pointers, make him really work for it on the defensive end, and try and wear him down. Because Dwayne Wade is still a great player, but Father Time is unbeaten, and we've seen it start to catch up to him the last couple of seasons.
Yeah.
Also, Dwayne Wade hasn't really been the greatest three-point shooter throughout his entire career. He's been able to hit big shots, but I'm going to look it up right now what his career three-point percentage is.
Yeah, he's become a better shooter, but he was never a shooter. He has become a better shooter, you're right.
That's right. We're talking about somebody who's 28.9 career from behind the arc. So if you can force him into taking those shots, especially late in the shot clock, that's going to be a great thing. Also, if the big men on Charlotte's bench can really start putting in work, especially against the backups for Miami, I'm talking about Chris Anderson, Udonis Haslem, and Josh McRoberts, because Cody Zeller and Frank Kaminsky are young, but they are very talented, especially Kaminsky, who's got a three-point shot and can stretch the floor, and that could potentially open things up a lot for Miami, for Charlotte's offense, especially the second team being run by Jeremy Lin, who, even though he hasn't achieved the success that he had in New York, is still a quality backup point guard in this league. Sylvia, what are your thoughts on what the Hornets can do to win this game?
Let's see. Well, you had a great point where Jeremy Lin has to step up so he could become a starter. That's one of them. Jeremy Lin has to, you know, he has to create the offense, has to, you know, shoot well, involve his teammates. So I'm with that with Jeremy Lin. Like I said, I'm not very familiar with the Hornets team. That's the only player that I recognize, because I don't follow them. I only follow the Heat and other several teams. So.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Okay, now, now we're going to go through the starting lineup and also compare the benches and see who we think has the advantage in each matchup. At point guard, we've got Kemba Walker going up against Goran Dragic. Now, Kemba Walker, like I said, is a fine NBA player, but I would say he's about your average starting point guard, whereas Goran Dragic has shown in the past to be have the potential to be an all-NBA player. It's only 2 years ago that he finished as the point guard, as a third-team all-NBA point guard, especially when if you can get him out on the break, he can push the tempo, and he can't hit the occasional three-pointer, and he's very good at creating the offense when he just starts probing in the paint.
Right.
Next up, we have Sylvia, what are your thoughts?
No, here I see that he only has 1.5 steals for the entire season of last year. Kemba Walker only has 1.5 steals in, during
the 2014. Are you sure that's not a per-game average?
I don't know, but that's not many steals as a point guard. If you're not making three-point shots or points, you should be stealing. That's my opinion on point guard. You should be stealing. If you don't have the offensive, you know, game, you should be doing better on defense. That should be steals.
Okay. I hear you on that.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on next. We've got Nicholas Batum at shooting guard for Charlotte against the hometown hero, Dwayne Wade. I really think that Wade has the advantage in this matchup. Batum both of these guys are entering the latter half of the career, and they aren't the same players that they used to be, but Wade has always managed to be incredibly efficient when he stayed on the court, whereas Batum fell off of the cliff last season. And I don't know if you heard this, but during the offseason, the Portland Trailblazers general manager was on the Zach Lowe's podcast, and he actually said it didn't matter if Aldridge was coming back or not. They were going to trade Batum, and that makes me think that he might be done as a starting quality NBA player.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, and next at the three small forward position, we have P.J. Harrison versus Lol Deng. Even though Deng is not the player that he used to be, I still think we've got to give the advantage to Lol Deng in this matchup. All right, now Marvin Williams and Chris Bosh. Chris Bosh, when he's healthy, is an NBA All-Star. I'd say he's still a top 20 player in this league, whereas Marvin Williams, he's an all right player, but I'm not sure that he's starting power forward on a playoff team.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I think Chris Bosh has it, has a good one. He could shoot threes, he could rebound when he wants to, he could rebound. He could be on the tape, he could pass, you know.
That is true. And the final matchup, we have Al Jefferson and Jassaul Whiteside. Now, I actually think that Jefferson might have the advantage in this matchup. But that's only depending on which Jassaul Whiteside is seated. If we're talking about Jassaul Whiteside, fully engaged in the game, locked in, mentally focused, and keeps his emotions in check, then, I mean, he wins this one. But if we're talking about Hassan Whiteside being the highly volatile player who he's been in his career, I really think that Al Jefferson, especially with his array of post moves, could get the better of Whiteside.
Yeah, yeah, because Whiteside still needs to, you know, learn more about the game, be more mature when it comes to, you know, fouls.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
he has... throughout his career, giving us some mind-boggling incidents. I always go back to when he, I don't know, did he just tackle or karate chop Alex Len during the game last year? I mean, either way, it was something that was uncalled for. And
yeah,
even Chris Bosh mentioned in a quote that I saw earlier today when talking about Whiteside, it's like, we need it to be the point where we don't have to answer questions, are we in control or not? So
this is
still something that's concerning to members of the Heat organization, or at least they're letting us on. It could be a long con. I wouldn't put anything against Pat Riley because he has proven to be a basketball genius.
Right.
But,
yeah.
And then when it comes to the bench matchup, I really feel like the Heat bench is a lot more talented. Right now,
yes,
I mean, those two young big men, Frank Kaminsky and Cody Zeller, could cause some problems, but I think the just general NBA knowledge of the older players will win out in the end.
Exactly, yeah. Just by having Gerald Green on the bench.
That's true.
You know,
and Gerald Green, I mean, he is instant offense. Half the time, he looks like he's playing NBA Jam and is on constant fire. It's ridiculous at times. All right. Now, we're going to be signing off for now, but we will be back with you for the post-game show, breaking down this game and looking ahead to Friday's matchup against the Cleveland Cavaliers. I've been Joshua Laurie, and...
I'm Coach Guevara.
All right, and we will be back with you later tonight. Enjoy the game, folks.
The heat is on. The heat is on, folks.